Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to say special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the founder, and a lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and their worship service starts at 10 a.m. They also have Bible studies at 7 p.m. every Wednesday evenings. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. You can catch them on Facebook and also YouTube. And you can go to their webpage, which is comingtothelight.org. Comingtothelight.org. So I thank you once again for calling in. And we did it. 2021, the first week in the new year of 2021. 2020 is gone, people. 2020 is gone. It's no more. It's in the past. 2021. Aren't you excited? Glory to God. Everything that we faced in the year 2020, this is our victory. We made it. He brought us through. Glory to God. Bless your name, Father. Well, before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Oh Lord, I stand. Y'all give somebody a hand, everyone. Can everybody just lift your hand? Yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody say, oh Lord,
oh Lord, I see, but you still call me my name.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh Lord, I see, but you still call me my name.
How many of y'all really mean that tonight? Say it again.
Oh Lord, I'm sin, but you still call me.
This song is not for the perfect people.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Said, oh Lord, I've sinned, but you're still calling my name. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. So it has nothing to do with us personally, with how we live. God has called all of us to do something. Said, oh Lord, I sin. A lot of people may feel guilty, like they're not worthy enough, but it doesn't change the calling on their lives. Well, thank you again for calling in. 2021. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Anybody excited to see what he's going to do this year? Glory to God. Even better, Lord. Even better. Even better, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to get into the word, amen? I need you to bear with me because we're going to do a lot of reading. But I have to lay a foundation. Give it to you like God gave it to me, amen? We're going to start in the book of Romans. Romans, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 8. Romans 10, starting at verse 8. And it reads, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You know, we hear the phrase, equal rights. Equal rights. Well, what about equal righteousness? Let that be our focus. Equal righteousness. Being in right standing with God. Let's adopt that one. Equal righteousness. It says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Glory to God. I pause there because my wife can attest to this. One of my foot, I've had issues with this one big toe. I don't know if it was athlete's foot or some kind of fungus or what. But I can attest to you today that that foot is no longer the same. Glory to God. I share that because of this scripture I just read. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I took that literally. There was a time where I didn't like wearing open sandals because I was embarrassed of that particular foot. Now I wear them proudly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And bring glad tidings of good things. That was for me. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way faith comes. People say you gotta have faith. You gotta have faith. But if there's no word, there's no faith. If there's no word, there is no faith. Now let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Just bear with me. Starting at verse 6. And it reads, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So because of their disobedience, they were appointed to stumble. That's the effects of sin. And disobedience is sin. Disobedience is sin. Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, glory, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Says we were not a people, weren't even considered, but because of the rejection of Christ, God gave us grace. He gave us mercy. He offered salvation to us. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And now we are called a chosen generation. We're called a royal priesthood. Emphasis on the word priest. And holy nation. Emphasis on the word holy. A peculiar people. Peculiar people. Peculiar, it's not talking about just being different, but it's because we've been purchased with the blood of the Lamb. That's why we're peculiar. Not about how we dress or how we talk or how we live, but because we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, that's what makes us peculiar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I want to read that one again. I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Everybody's called to something. Verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Shouldn't be any division going on. Shouldn't be any backbiting going on. Shouldn't be any judging going on. Shouldn't be any jealousy going on, because we all have our own calling. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. See, I'm called to my calling. You're called to your calling. I'm not trying to be like someone else. So you should not be like someone else, because we are unique. We are different, and we are specifically called to certain areas according to what he's called us out of. So whatever lives we were living before we got saved, see, we can relate to it. We can understand it personally. So now we can go back into that darkness and be a light. Be the example to help lead others out of that particular dark situation. We're not called to everybody, but we're all called to somebody. Verse 7 says, I'm going to read 4 again. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's key. Says in you all, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All of us are called to something. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So the question is, what's your gift? And I like to pose it like this. If money wasn't an issue, you got up this morning, didn't have to worry about bills, didn't have to worry about anything concerning materialistic things, what is it that you would do just because you love doing it? What is it that you would do for nothing? If you really think about it, that's where your gift is. That's where your calling is. That's where your purpose is. Just wanted to share that. Verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Remember last week I said, no one should tell anybody to go to the eighth word. Because if we really understood what hell is, we wouldn't want anybody to go there. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, when he was placed in the tomb, in the grave, it says that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, which is hell. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This is why. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we're called. We're called for the perfecting of the saints. We're called for the work of the ministry. And we're called for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why there should be no division. There should be no tearing down. There should be no jealousy, because we should be uplifting each other, encouraging each other, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, perfect meaning whole, complete, full, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's called immaturity. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is the agenda of man. The agenda of man is to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Be no more children, but may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Last verse, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, every joint supplieth, everybody has its own calling, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The title of the message this morning is The 4-H Calling Club. The 4-H Calling Club. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing us out of 2020 into 2021. Thank you for allowing us once again to come into your presence, God, to lay down at your feet, to sit on your lap and lay on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us, God, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready to go into the world and be light, be salt, be a difference, to be your representatives. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for saving us. Now, Father, use us for your glory. Use us for your glory, God, in the areas which you called us to. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The 4-H Calling Club. Of course, when I thought about 4-H, I went back to my childhood school days, thinking about the 4-H Club. 4-H is a U.S.-based network of youth organizations whose mission is engaging youth to reach their fullest potential while advancing the field of youth development. Its name is a reference to the occurrence of the initial letter H four times in the organization's original motto, which is head, heart, hands, and health. So that's where the 4-H's came from. Head, heart, hands, and health. That's the focus of the youth, to impact their head, their heart, their hands, and their health. The emblem is a four-leaf clover. I remember as a kid looking for four-leaf clovers because it represented what we call luck. Looking for a four-leaf clover so that you can have some luck in your life. The motto is to make the best better. To make the best better. And the purpose is engaging youth to reach their fullest potential while advancing the field of youth development. The goal of the 4-H is to develop citizenship, leadership, responsibility, and life skills of youth through experiential learning programs and a positive youth development approach. Though typically thought of as an agriculturally focused organization, as a result of its history, 4-H today focuses on citizenship, healthy living, science, engineering, and technology programs. Clubs in today's 4-H world consist of a wide range of options, each allowing for personal growth and career success. Its slogan is "Learn by doing," sometimes written as "Learn to do by doing." So this is what the 4-H Club represents. Engaging youth to reach their fullest potential while advancing the field of youth development. Nothing in this mention Proverbs 6:6, which is, Proverbs 22:6, which is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how do we train them? In the fear and the admonition of the Lord, in the Word of God. I just read that we should not be as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, itching ears. This day, the news is saying one thing. The next day, the news is saying another. So people have forgot or disregarded what they heard the day before. Now the focus is on the updated news. But it says that we should grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And how do we do that? The Word of God. The Word of God. So let's look at the word calling. Calling. Calling is a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. A strong inner impulse. I heard someone say, whatever frustrates you is your ministry. Whatever frustrates you is your ministry. So think about it. What is it that frustrates you, that you think about or you look at and it just gets you to the point where you want to do something about it? Well, the reason is because you have been called to do something about it. A strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. That's Holy Spirit nudging you. That's God saying, this is what I've called you to. This is your purpose on this earth. This is why I've given you the gifts that you have. Calling, the vocation or profession in which one customarily engages. The vocation or profession in which one customarily engages. Ephesians 4 and 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So, what area have you been called to? Calling, another definition is work. Work, not job, but work. Work means, are you being effective? Are you making an impact? Are you encouraging or provoking people to do better? Are you being an example of Christ and influencing people to ask, what must I do to be saved? Are you representing the kingdom of God in a way that causes you to stand out? It's something about you. I can't put a finger on it, but you're different. So it should call people to ask, what is it? And that's the interest. That's the invitation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we're going to talk about the 4-H calling club. Not the 4-H club, but the 4-H calling club. Let's turn to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, we're going to start at verse 13. And it reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that's the first H in the 4-H calling club, the high calling. Now, the 4-H club, their focus is the head, the heart, the hands, and health. Well, when I think about the high calling, I think about the mind. Because we're all spirits who have souls and live in bodies. But along with that, God has given us free will. So we have a choice to decide if we should walk worthy of our calling. There are four elements of the world. You got the air, the fire, the earth, and water. Where air represents the high calling. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because the battle is in the mind. And the word speaks about being high-minded. So we should make decisions according to our intellect. No, because this is a spiritual warfare. We have a high calling. Number two, let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And it reads, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. So that's number two. Number one is high calling. Number two is holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we were born into this world with a holy calling. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. One of the main issues in this world is identity crisis. People do not know who they are. He says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So, the 4-H calling club, number one is high calling. Number two is holy calling, which speaks of the heart, the spirit, and the element is fire. God is a consuming fire. So what is it that's frustrating you to the point where your heart, your spirit is on fire to do something about? Number three, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1, verse 15. And it reads, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you know who he is, you know who you are. When you know who he is, you know who you are. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. That's number three. His calling. So it's not about us. It's about us representing Jesus. Because it's his calling. We've been called to a high calling. We've been called to a holy calling, and we've been called to his calling, which represents the hands. Jesus said, I must go to the Father, but greater works than these shall you do. So we're on this earth to spread the gospel throughout the earth. That's the third element. Throughout the earth. And we are his body. Number four. Let's go to Hebrews, third chapter. Hebrews 3. Verse 1, the 4-H calling club, we talked about the high calling, we talked about the holy calling, and we talked about his calling. Hebrews 3 and 1, and it reads, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's number 4, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about Jesus, inasmuch as he who had builded the house has more honor than the house. So it's not about the house, it's about the one who built the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So the 4-H calling club, number one is the high calling, number two is the holy calling, number three is his calling, number four is the heavenly calling, which focuses on health. The fourth element is water. See, when I think of water, I think about a refreshing. That there's nothing more pure. There's nothing that's more healthy than water, representing the soul. Let's go to Ephesians 5, right quick. Ephesians 5, it says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the heavenly calling. We cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So the 4-H calling club. The 4-H calling club. The emblem is the cross. The purpose is seek and save that which is lost. The mission, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the motto is Christ and Him crucified. The 4-H calling club. What is your calling? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for calling us in our specific area to make an impact in this world, representing your kingdom, spreading the gospel of Christ. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The 4-H Calling Club. Well, love you. Bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard.